Good morning. This is the KDNK Local Newscast for Wednesday, December 14th. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh, sitting in for Steve Cole, live from the heart of the Carbondale Creative District. State commissioners are holding a public meeting in Fort Collins this morning that could determine the fate of scores of Colorado's native cougars and bears. Eric Galatis reports.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife's proposal to boost declining mule deer numbers by killing cougars and black bears in two segments of the Piance Basin is coming under fire from wildlife conservationists. Commissioners are meeting in Fort Collins Wednesday to vote on the plan. Andrea Santacieri with the Center for Biological Diversity says numerous studies have shown removing natural predators from the landscape isn't the answer.
Deer populations in Colorado are largely suffering from habitat fragmentation and degradation, especially a lack of food and nutrition on their winter range.
She says the agency should build on successful efforts to bolster herds by removing invasive plants and reseeding native plants. Officials disagree, saying deer are getting enough winter food, but populations remain low because newborns are being killed by predators and roughly 25% fewer fawns are reaching adulthood. Bethany Cotton with Wild Earth Guardian says the agency itself has acknowledged that human activity and loss of habitat due to oil and gas development are the primary threat to mule deer survival rates.
We're asking the agency to concentrate state resources on addressing those impacts and mitigating that rather than scapegoating bears and cougars.
Andrew Curry, a business investor and outdoor enthusiast, plans to attend Wednesday's meeting. He's hoping the agency will agree to start over and work with stakeholders to find a better solution.
And we can do it in a way that's not lethal to cougars and bears, and do it in a way that meets the goals of the hunters and outfitters and ranchers, and also the other wildlife enthusiasts.
For KDNK, I'm Eric Galatis.
A state court has ruled that Colorado's 9 presidential electors must vote for the winner of the popular vote in Colorado, which was Hillary Clinton. The court said if an elector fails to do so, that elector would be removed and replaced. It's also a misdemeanor. Benta Berkland has more.
Republican Secretary of State Wayne Williams asked the court for clarification on the issue. Colorado law already binds electors to the popular vote winner, but some electors said they wouldn't rubber stamp a vote for Clinton. Williams wasn't sure if those electors could then be replaced or if the Electoral College votes just wouldn't count.
It is possible that Colorado may not have been able to cast all of its electoral votes. We're a nation of laws. People need to know their vote's going to count.
Two Democratic members of Colorado's Electoral College filed a federal lawsuit questioning the state system. It's part of a national movement to free up electors in red states to reject Donald Trump for president. The Electoral College vote is on Monday. I'm Benta Berkland.
The town of Carbondale's Board of Trustees met last night. Gavin Dahl reports.
Carbondale Town Trustees approved the 2017 budget at their meeting on Tuesday night, including about $500,000 in reserve spending. They decided to appoint a new trustee to fill the vacancy on the board, and the deadline for applications will be Friday, January 13th, with an additional suggestion this time around put forth by trustee Katrina Byers that candidates gather 25 signatures from local residents. Natalie Ray Fuller from the Carbondale Environmental Board made a brief presentation about idling regulations. Currently, no vehicle may idle for more than 10 minutes after a cold start, but there is little to no enforcement by the police department. There are also exemptions in the current rules for police, fire, and emergency vehicles, as well as auxiliary motors in, say, refrigerated trucks. The Environmental Board recommended changing the ordinance to a 2-minute limit on idling. Trustees agreed to the idea and also decided to reduce the penalties to match parking tickets, $25 per offense with no increased penalty for repeat offenders. Officers will still have discretion about giving a warning for first offenders, but will be encouraged to do more enforcement now that a 2-minute limit is less time-consuming to prove. The stated goal of the changes is to better educate the community, and a vote on final ordinance language is expected in January. During public comment, a few community members spoke in favor of the changes. Carbondale resident Richard Votero said that after several years as an idle stopper, he ceased due to hostility from some drivers he confronted. He began his remarks with a simple question.
What is clean air worth? We know what clean water's worth. We know what a lot of other things are worth, but what is clean air worth? It can be quantified, and we don't require doing that here tonight, but it's worth a lot to me. I know that's the one thing that all of us can only do without for 3 or 4 minutes. So it's pretty damn important. Idling it is our belief that we are privileged people. Our individual comfort or our unawareness is something we can afford. These are the new days when the planet matters, and we are all responsible every day for a clean home to live in. This is a step to help that. There's idling year-round. People idle at the post office to keep grandma warm or cool, the dog warm or cool, and you ought not to be leaving children in a vehicle running. I've found a lot of unattended vehicles idling, which is just crazy. I know people in my neighborhood who idle literally 35 to 45 minutes on several vehicles. So we're way out of hand. I think it's about public education, not so much enforcement. We don't have the personnel to enforce something like this. It's such a broad problem. Some sort of a public education thing where citizens could leave a reminder on a windshield of a vehicle that's idling. Here's what our town ordinance is, and the consequences of idling to our air is significant to us. Heck with the gas waste in the engine. If somebody wants to goof up their engine, it's their problem. But the air is our problem.
That was Carbondale resident Richard Votero speaking at Town Hall last night. There are bilingual flyers available at Town Hall now that can be placed on the windshield of idling cars by citizens. If the new ordinance is passed, Town Manager Jay Harrington assured trustees they will update the flyers. For KDNK News, I'm Gavin Dahl.
Patrons may have noticed changes in local libraries over the past week as the Garfield County Library District adjusts to a significant reduction in its operating budget. Cuts include staff layoffs, hours of operation, materials, and services. Here's more about how the crunch is affecting the Carbondale branch and the district overall. Over the past decade, the amount of visitors to the Garfield County libraries has doubled. Almost 27,000 new library cards were doled out, and most noticeably, six shiny new library buildings popped up from Parachute to Carbondale, replete with local artwork, computers, Wi-Fi, study rooms, and a slew of new books, movies, and music. But the boom times evaporated when the district lost 30% of its operating budget for next year due to a reduction in oil and gas property tax revenues. Now, hours have been cut, eight staff members have been laid off across the district, including some who have left voluntarily, and the materials budget has been slashed. For Carbondale branch manager Janine Stickle, who stepped into the position in August, it's been a matter of redefining her role.
With cutting back on staff, the branch manager has traditionally been a little bit more behind the scenes, but I'm needed a little bit more to sit on the desk and run the library rather than in my office doing planning and that sort of thing.
She says this has added to her workload, but the staff is sharing a lot of duties. The Carbondale Library lost two staff members through attrition due to the budget cuts, and one person left voluntarily. Two full-time staffers and five part-timers remain. Stickle says the material budget was cut in half, which translates to fewer new books, movies, and music for patrons, and longer wait times for holds.
For example, if the newest James Patterson book has 100 holds on it, we try to purchase more copies of that so that the line will move quicker. We will be purchasing fewer books, and so there will be fewer books in the system to alleviate that line.
There will be one or two fewer computers available for public use. District Manager Jesse Henning says this is because the library pays $500 annually for servicing costs per machine.
The equipment we own, but the $500 a year is what we paid to Marmot for them to service the computers, to do all of our network things so we can call them in case we have a computer that breaks or if we need to move computers around or anything like that.
Hennings was hired as district manager in October and has been dealing with one of the most challenging times for the district. He says what attracted him to the job was the district's overwhelming drive to serve the community.
While this cut has hurt and while we're kind of in a time of grieving as a result, that spirit is not diminished. And I feel that drive to move forward and serve people with, you know, to the best of our ability is still here in the district.
Janine Stickle agrees and says there is an upside to the budget crunch.
This budget situation puts us in a position to rethink who we are as a library and really define what are our values, what are our priorities.
But the end of the budget situation may not be in sight. Henning says the district is holding on to reserve funds in case of future cuts.
The Board of County Commissioners has let us know that there may be more decreases in property tax valuation for the next year, and we need to keep that reserve in place.
Meanwhile, patrons can help out by purchasing books at library book sales, volunteering, and contributing to the Garfield County Library Foundation. More information and new library hours are at gcpld.org, and there will be a going-away party for Glenwood Branch Manager Sue Schnitzer Friday at 5 p.m. The Bureau of Land Management continues to gather wild horses at Sandwash Basin in northwest Colorado, reports the Glenwood Springs Post-Independent. The roundup began in November, and so far, 22 young Mustangs have been taken off the range and shipped to a wild horse holding facility. The goal is to remove 50 Mustangs from the herd and treat 200 mares with PZP fertility control. A total of 10 mares have been treated so far. The agency is blaming winter weather for delays. This is KDNK News.